The BYOD and we call it BYOA, which is bring your own app, is it's something that companies have to be aware of that's going to exist whether or not they want to or not. So even if the policy of a company is that you can't install an application on the device, typically what we find is that if it gets the employee's job done more efficiently, they're going to go ahead and do that without regard to the IT policy. So it's really a question of how you deal with that as a company, and that's, I think, the complex piece is recognizing that there's a difference between perceived security, having policies, and actually setting up secure environments. So password is just one component of that. Accessing through mobile devices is another. There's yet a third, which is probably the more complex solution, which is on a network layer, restricting what people can access and cannot.
Your white paper looked at some of the problems that occur with passwords. So, regardless of all the dangers, usernames and passwords still seem to be kind of the first line of defense. There are several security experts who have said that passwords are dead, but they just don't know it yet. We keep using them, even though they provide more of an illusion of security in some cases than any real security. But they're what we have now, I guess. So it's what we use. So what are some of the main mistakes that people make when they set up passwords?
I think the main mistakes that we're seeing are the most simple is that the passwords are too short. So the length of the passwords and the character sets that are being used. That's something that's easy for a user to solve by making a longer passphrase, including things like an actual phrase with spaces in it. However, there are some restrictions there where some applications limit what you can use for character sets. So it's an inconsistency that applies across applications where if you were to try to set the most secure password you can, in some cases, the application won't accept them. So, random password generators are a good solution to solve that. And there are many of them that you specify the character set, you specify the number of characters you use. There's also, passwords being dead is a very interesting concept. I think passwords are certainly going away over time, but bringing up, well, what's the reality today? The majority of the thousands of applications that exist today are purely password. Beyond the password is setting up two-factor authentication. Companies like Google let you do this where you actually have to confirm a second authentication when logging into the app. And that might be something like you get a text message to your cell phone with a code, or you use an application that you can download to get the code that changes periodically. But on the password, it's really around the character set you use, also around the length of password. And then there are, in kind of the dark web, there are passwords that are regularly used by many people. So avoiding the common passwords. And there's published lists that come out every year. There are things like password 123 or A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But basically using common sense for, I think, randomly generating alphanumeric with a longer password.
I know there are people, because I've talked to some of them, who absolutely refuse to create a strong password simply because it's too hard for them to type upper and lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols on a smartphone or a tablet. And then to make matters even worse, some of these people don't even password protect their tablets or their smartphones. I've seen some estimates that it's in excess of 40% of smartphone users don't even password protect the device itself. Do you have any data on that as really how widespread that practice is?
We don't actually store consistent data over time for what the passwords on devices, for example, or strong versus weak passwords. We do, as a company, have aggregate information on passwords that people use for applications, on the thousands of applications that exist through web-based browsers. And I will say, without giving specifics on the statistics, that the vast majority of passwords are what we consider weak to failing passwords from a brute force attack perspective, meaning that they're fairly easy to guess. And now there's certain reasons why people, I think, feel secure not having complex passwords. One of the reasons is that for applications that have something to do with finance, so the banks and the credit cards of the world, they typically have more strong authentication where if you attempt to access with guessing passwords and it fails a certain amount of times, that you'll be locked out and you'll have to physically call and verify your identity with the provider. So I think while the passwords being weak is not a good thing for individuals, the general population has kind of learned to not care as much because the implication of having a password that isn't that strong doesn't appear to be as dangerous. I think where the real danger lies is passwords that are consistent across multiple applications. So when you read an article about there being a data breach at Target where there are certain things and it could be access to being able to make payments, the scarier part there is that potentially the username and password that were stolen from a large company like that, it allows hackers to go out and just trial those passwords in banks, in other financial institutions. So the risk really, I think, lies more in the having a consistent password. It's just a matter of time before the next large company is announced to have a data breach where user accounts were compromised. And I think the general population has just really reacted by saying that they don't care about the strength of their password. And to a certain extent, I don't disagree with some applications. There are applications that really it's not the end of the world if somebody hacks into an application that is fairly benign. But if you're talking about mission critical in a company where it's actual data that's sensitive, or you're talking about financial information on an individual side, that's really where it becomes dangerous.
So if you have, say, an account with a newspaper or something like that, it can have a fairly weak password. You just don't want to reuse those credentials, the username and the password, with, say, for example, your bank.
Yeah, I think definitely not using the same ones. And there is a certain soft analysis to say, how annoying is it to type in a very complex, long password? What's the risk reward for that individual application? In other words, if it's a website that has, it's a Q&A website where it's really just a discussion forum, if somebody were to get into that account, is it really that dangerous and does it really cause you that much problem versus if someone were to get into your bank account or your credit card and the things that they could do? So not all applications should probably be treated equally, but at the same time, I think that the main problem is having the same password for multiple accounts.
Some of the basic rules for passwords are that they need to be unique for all sensitive sites. They need to be complex and they need to never be written down. And that combination of requirements makes people crazy. What can a person do to remain sane in a world like this?
Yeah, well, there are certainly tools out there that can assist in password remembering. So there are plugins for browsers, there are applications for mobile devices. They're typically called single sign-on applications, and they enable you to do kind of what our company Bitium does on a corporate level, but to do it on an individual side. And I think that's a way to keep sane about it. And it's important to get it done once, because the implication of something bad happening, you shouldn't wait for something bad to happen in order to get your house in order.
Wherever you look today, there seems to be yet another challenge of privacy and security. There was the Target thing recently, and then after that, that was, oh, by the way, there seem to be some other fairly high-profile stores that have had similar problems. And as you mentioned, it's just a matter of time till somebody else gets it. We got break-ins at the various social media sites. We've got efforts by the government to defeat security measures. Does anybody really have even a small expectation of security?
Well, I think that is part of the problem, is that certainly in our culture that certain people take their security very seriously. Others tend to have a false sense of security and assume that if something were to go wrong with their bank, for example, that the bank would somehow figure out a way to remedy the situation. It's not a healthy way to think, but it is part of our society. So in other words, I think it's fairly commonplace for someone to have a fraud alert on their credit card, and it doesn't really worry them anymore because they view it as, well, that's American Express's problem, and they'll take care of it. But the truth is that it does impact you, and that there can be some really negative things that come of people getting into your accounts. And it's threatening for them to get into one thing, but if that proliferates and lets them get access to other things, then we start getting into situations where they can actually steal an identity rather than just access an application and open up new accounts because of that. So it's really, it's the tip of the iceberg. So it's certainly worth paying attention to, not just from the isolated incident of, oh, somebody hacked into my Snapchat, for example. Does that matter? Probably not. But are there other ramifications that are waterfall effect because of that?